The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
At the end of Parashas Mishpatim, we have a number of psukim which deal again with the giving of the Torah. But even though the giving of the Torah was in Parshas Yisro, and then the Torah interrupted that with all of the dinim, the laws of Mishpatim, but at the end of the Parsha, it goes back to again speak about the giving of the Torah. I'd like to learn some of these psukim this evening and see what the Chazal learned from these psukim. This is in Mishpatim, Chof Dalet, Perek Chof Dalet, Posek Aleph. Vel Meisho Amar Alei Al Hashem. And to Meisha Hashem said, go up to Hashem. Atov va'arein nodevav you. You and Aaron, nodevav you. These were the two sons of Aaron. V'shivim b'zikne Yisrael. And 70 of the elders. Yishtachvisem erochek. And when they're still far away yet, they should bow to Hashem. V'nigash Meisha levade el Hashem. And then only Meisha should go further. V'heim lo yigoshu. And Aaron and Nodav Avivu and the others shouldn't go. V'om lo yalo imay. And the nation in general shouldn't go up. Rashi tells us this is speaking on the fourth day of Sivan. The Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. So this is speaking on the fourth day of Sivan, and it's speaking in regards to the 3 days of Hagbolah. The 3 days when we were told to make boundaries around the mountain and not to go up on the mountain. Now, as we see from the psukim, that not everyone was given permission to go all the way up on the mountain or to even to go up a certain extent. In Parshas Yisro, in Perek Yutes Posuk Chof Dalet, there Hashem said, "Volisa atov v'arein," that you and Arein shall go up. And the Chazal learned, Rashi brings that atov mechitzo la'atzmecho v'arein mechitzo la'atzmei v'hakahanim mechitzo la'atzmo. That everyone was given a different boundary, a different portion as to how far up on the mountain of Hashem to Har Sinai they could go. Meisha, he went all of the way up. Aaron could go a little further. These were the Becheiris, the firstborns who were going to bring sacrifices. They could go a little further. And the same with the 70 elders. And the nation had to stay behind. In Parshas Shemos, Perikei Posuk Aleph, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Meisha and Aaron to go to Pare and to show him wonders. Throw down the staff, it'll turn into a serpent. Show him wonders. And then he will let your nation go. And he said, first go together all of this kenim, all of the elders. So the Torah tells us, Vayelech Meisha v'Aaron v'yasfu es kol zikne b'nei Yisrael. Meisha and Aaron went, and they gathered up all of the elders of the nation, and he made the wonders to the elders, and from there they were going to go to Pare. In Posuk Aleph, when it states the Acher Bol Meisha v'Aaron v'Yimur El Pare, that when they came to Pare, it was only Meisha v'Aaron. The elders were not there. So Rashi says, "Aval zekenim nishmatu echod echod me'achar meishav aaron ad shenishmatu kulam kedem shigia lepalten lefi shiyoru laleches." The zekenim were afraid. They were afraid to go to Parai. So one by one, they all disappeared. Until when it came time to go to the palace, it was only Meisha and Aaron alone. U'besinai nifra lohem v'nigash meisha levadei v'heim lo yigoshu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu repaid them. And when it came time to go up on Har Sinai, so only Meisha was given that zechus, and Aaron after him. but the elders were not given that zchus. So we see from here that our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he pays everyone according to what he deserves. You know, it's midas bosim adam. Many times by when it comes to human beings, we want to give out rewards, or we want to give out kibudim, see, honors, and sometimes we say, well, this one deserves it, but this one doesn't deserve it, give it to him anyhow. That's not the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays with exactness to everyone accordingly. And since the elders all were afraid, they were afraid to go to Pare, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give them the schus, the great merit, to go up on Har Sinai. And only Moshe and Aaron were given this schus. A little later on, maybe Moshe, turn it off for a minute. Later on in the Shir, we'll see another reason for this. Then the Torah tells us, Vayovei Moshe Vayisapel La'am is called Divrei Hashem. Is Kolam Mishpotim. On that same day, on the 4th of Sivan, Moshe came back down. And he told the nation all of the words of Hashem. Is Kolam Mishpotim, all of the laws. Vayan Kol Om Kol Echad Vayemru Kol Advorim Asher Diber Hashem Naseh. And the whole nation answered, and they said that whatever Hashem said, we will do. Now the question is, what did Moshe tell them? He told them all of the words of Hashem and all of the laws. But this was speaking on the 4th of Sivan. So this was speaking before the giving of the Torah. So what did he have to tell the people? Rashi brings, it's called Var Divrei Hashem, Mitzvahs Precious Vahagbola. Firstly, he told them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded not to go near the mountain. The people are not allowed to go near the mountain for 3 days before the giving of the Torah. And what does it mean, Veiskola Mishpotim? So Rashi brings from the Mechilta, and this is also a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin in Perek Dalet Misus, Zayin Mitzvah Shenistavu B'nei Nayach. First he told the people, the seven mitzvahs of B'nei Nayach. All of the world was commanded in seven mitzvahs. So first, Moshe came back down from the mountain, and he reiterated to them the seven mitzvahs, and he wanted to know if they were going to accept them. Then he told them, Rashi brings four other mitzvahs: the mitzvah of Shabbos, the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'Em, of honoring one's father and mother, the mitzvah of Por Aduma, the red heifer, and Dinim, the mitzvah of Dinim. These are the civil laws, monetary laws, which are given between man and his fellow man. Why these? Because these mitzvahs were already given to them. Shenitnu lehem b'mora. These mitzvahs had previously been given to them in Mora. So we're speaking of, besides the seven mitzvahs of B'nai Nayach that all of the world was commanded, we're speaking about four other mitzvahs. Rashi says Shabbos, Kibur Aveim, honoring a father and mother, Por Aduma, the red heifer, and Dinim, the laws, monetary laws between man and his fellow man, judicial laws. Where was this given before? So this is in Parshas Bishalach. Parshas Bishalach, right after the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and after the Oz Yoshir, that they sang the song. So it states, this is in Shmos Tesvov Posechov Beis, Vayasa Meshe Yisrael Yamsuf. Meshe took the people away from the Red Sea. He had to take them by force. They didn't want to leave so quickly because there was the Mises Hayom. There was a tremendous wealth that was gotten from the sea. As all of the Egyptians came armored, and they had decorated their chariots and their horses with gold and silver and the precious jewelry, and this was all washed up by the sea, so the people didn't want to leave. It states, Gedele Mises Hayom and Mises Mitzrayim. There was more spoils
that they took out of the sea than they took out of Egypt. But at any rate, Moshe moved the nation, and they went El Midbar Shur, Vayelchu Shleshish Yomim Bamidbar, and they walked for 3 days. They walked for 3 days, and they didn't find any water. Finally, they came to a place which was called Morah. It wasn't called Morah then. It was probably called Morah afterwards. They couldn't drink them, and they came, and there was water. And they were very happy there was water, but they were very disappointed that when they started to drink it after 3 days without water, it was bitter. Yes, it's Alkein Koresh Morah. Therefore, the place was called Morah, bitter. They started to complain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, he told them, take this particular piece of wood and throw it into the water, and the waters will be sweetened. There they were given Choku Mishpat. A Chok is a statute. A statute means something which is very definite and very absolute. Even though we do not necessarily understand why. And a mishpat is a type of a commandment that we understand the reason for. Or we would even might decree this commandment even if it was not given to us. So we see here in Morah, which was 3 days after the going out of Egypt, 3 days after the splitting of the sea. So this was still in Nisan, several months before the giving of the Torah. They were given Chayku Mishpat. So this is what is meant, that Kfar Nitztavu, they were already commanded. Now, here, Rashi tells us, he says, what does it mean, Chayku Mishpat? B'more nosen lemikses parshi shel Torah shi'asku behem. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them a few of the parshas, a few of the chapters of the Torah, so they'll have Torah to study. What did he give them? Shabbos, Porah Adumah V'dinim. So he says, Shabbos and Porah Adumah V'dinim. He leaves out the Kibbur Avim. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that actually they were given 10 mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah. The 7 mitzvahs that all of the world was commanded on. And it brings 3 other mitzvahs. The 3 others, Shabbos and Kibbur Avim and Dinim. Porah Adumah is a question. It's a question. As to some, it seems that some say Porah Adumah, some say not. But basically there seem to be 3. But it's a question, which was the 3rd? So usually many times Rashi quotes 4. Sometimes he quotes 3, sometimes he quotes 4. So they were given 10 mitzvahs. All right, now, let's see if we can explain this. Firstly, why were they given these mitzvahs? Why were they given these mitzvahs before the giving of the Torah? So the Gorai brings, because it states that they went 3 days without water. And the Chazal, Darshan, a person, that's the limit. A person cannot go more than 3 days without water. That's all he can live without water. It states that Torah is nimshal alamayim. Torah is like water. What water is to the body, this is what Torah is to the nefesh, to the spirit. A person also cannot live 3 days without Torah, therefore. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that they should have Torah, that they can study, till they get to Har Sinai. After Har Sinai, the Torah was always with them. And this is why he gave them some of the mitzvahs now. Incidentally, this was also became the reason of the Takonas Ezra and later generations why we were commanded to read the Torah in the Berah B'tzibur, in all of the shuls, on Mondays and Thursdays. So, and then on Shabbos we were commanded by Moshe to read the Sefer Torah. So we should never go 3 days without Torah. Right? Because just like a person must never go 3 days without water. Torah is to the person what water is, it's to a spirit. Therefore, he must always make sure he doesn't go 3 days without Torah. And here they had no Torah, they had come out of Egypt. And there was still a good number of weeks. There were 7 weeks between the Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them some of the mitzvahs. Incidentally, this is what is meant in the Aseres HaDibros, in the Ten Commandments that were given the second time, in Parshas Veschanan. So there, it states, in the mitzvah of Shabbos, it states like this: Shomer Hashem Shabbos l'kashoy kasher tzivcha Hashem alekecho. Guard the Shabbos to sanctify it, like Hashem has commanded you. What does it mean, like Hashem has commanded? He's commanding them now. So this is referring because they were already commanded on Shabbos in Moro. And this also states, this is also in the mitzvah of Kabir Esavicho. Kabir Esavicho Vesimecho Kashe Tzivcho Hashem Alekecho. Honor your father and mother like I have commanded you, like Hashem has commanded you, because they were already commanded on this in Moro. Now, another question. How do we see from the Torah that merely writes Shom Shom Lecheku Mishpat? They were given a chek and a mishpat. How do we see that it refers to these mitzvahs? Right, we have proofs. We brought some proof to it. But how do we see it in the words? So the Gorai explains as follows: Chok. That's as mentioned. That's a statute. Chok means something which is very definite, very absolute, and something that we do not understand. The greatest chok that was given in the Torah is Por Aduma. But Por Aduma is written in Parsha, in the Parsha where it's called, it's referred to Chukas, my chok. And it's on that mitzvah Shlema Melech wrote. Shlema Melech, King Solomon, was a chochem mikol odom. He was given more wisdom than everyone. He wrote, Amarti yechkamo v'yirecheke mimeni. I said I am wise, but when I came to the parsha of Por Aduma, I see that wisdom is still beyond me. So that's the classical example of a chok. Therefore, when the Torah wrote Shom Shom lechok, it refers to Por Aduma. It also refers to Shabbos. Chok, as we mentioned, is something which is very definite. Chok means like an unbending law. Like it states, Chukeis Chokakti. I have engraved unbending laws in the world. Boundaries which cannot be changed. Shabbos represents a boundary which is unchangeable. Sheish Yomim Tasim Alocha. Uveyema Shvi Leisasek Alocha. 6 days you shall work. 7th day you're not allowed to work. It's the cutoff. When the 7th day came, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped his work. It's all of the work that he was doing to create the world, he stopped. The fact is, it states that on Friday he did an extra amount of work in order to finish it before sunset. He hurried, because when the sunset came, he wasn't going to do any work. So this is a chok. In other words, this is an unbending boundary. That one, for 6 days are days of work. 7th day is a day of non-work. So therefore, that's also encompassed in the word chok. So when it states Shom Shom Lechok, it refers to the Por Aduma, the red heifer, and it refers to Shabbos. Then we said there are two other mitzvahs, dinim and Kibbur Aveim. Mishpat we always know refers to dinim. In fact, is in our parsha, it states Elam ve'Elam Mishpatim, and this refers to dinim. Dinim, the laws, the monetary laws between man and his fellow man. So therefore, Mishpat refers to dinim, and also Mishpat refers to Kibbur Aveim. Why should Mishpat refer to Kibbur Aveim? Mishpat, the Chazal tell us, is the type of a mitzvah, of a command, which we understand the reason for, at least the superficial reason, so well that even had the Torah not given it, we might have enacted it. For example, there are many things we understand even if the Torah wouldn't have given it. We understand you shouldn't kill. We understand you shouldn't steal. These are what is known as mishpat. The commentaries tell us that from the greatest mishpat is Kibbur Aveim, to honor one's mother and father. It is the most logical mitzvah. Even had the Torah not given it, we would do it. The proof of it is, the Chazal bring, because the whole world keeps it. The Goyim, the non-Jew, was not commanded in Kibbutz Avraham. It's not one of the seven mitzvahs. Yet in the entire civilized world, when we say civilized, you have to think of what world you're referring to. See, what is civilized and what is not civilized? It's not necessarily what we call civilized. Right? But in civilized world, where people live decent lives, they always honor their mother and father. Why? They weren't given this mitzvah. Because this is a mitzvah that the seichel logic demands. Fact is, the Gemara tells us that Rome, the Romans, even though they were a cruel nation, they excelled in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avraham when it came to honoring one's mother and father. Esav excelled in that mitzvah. So therefore, there is no greater mishpat. In other words, a law which at least the basic reasoning we can well understand than Kibbutz Avraham. So therefore, when it states chok, it's referring to the greatest chok, the Por Aduma, and it's also referring to one of the greatest boundaries. 6 days you shall work, and 7 days not. The seventh day not. That's Shabbos. And when we are speaking of Mishpat, so we're referring to the dinim, which are called Mishpat, ve'ela Mishpatim, the laws between man and his fellow men, and Kibbutz Avraham. Incidentally, on this set we said that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu rushed in order to finish all of his work. This is what the Midrash states. Before Shabbos, there was one someone who told me, he says, maybe that's the reason why we always find Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says Erev Shabbos is a tilda. So Erev Shabbos is a day of busyness because you're getting ready for Shabbos. Fact is, the Gemara goes so far as to say that Ein Ben David Bo, the Mashiach that we'll all wait for, will not come on Friday. Why? Because Jews are too busy. They're too busy to go out and meet the Mashiach. Even the Mashiach on Friday. Incidentally, this tells us, this gives us the Dvar Musa, what Erev Shabbos is. In the Chazal's eyes, a Jew was even too busy to go out and meet the Mashiach on Erev Shabbos because he was busy preparing for Shabbos. So it says that he wouldn't come on Erev Shabbos because the Jews are so busy getting ready for Shabbos. So we find that in the winter, the Erev Shabbos is very short. All right, you're very busy. But in the summer, Shabbos can be late, especially in some areas of the world. In some areas of the world, where the sunset here is at 7 o'clock, Johannesburg is Makabel Shabbos earlier. But in many areas of the world, Shabbos starts 7, 8, 9 in the evening. So why are they so busy on Friday? They got a whole day to prepare. Still they're busy. So someone once said it's very good, that went into the nature of the day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so he hurried to get everything in on Friday, so it would be all finished before Shabbos. And evidently that goes into the nature of the day, that Erev Shabbos is a busy day, whether it's a short Erev Shabbos or a long Erev Shabbos. It's interesting that the Gemara brings, Sekhta Kedushin brings a story in the sugya of Kibbutz Avraham. Brings a story that this, how to fulfill this mitzvah, this is something we can go and learn from the goy, from the non-Jews. And brings a story of a Roman. As mentioned, the Romans excelled in this mitzvah. There was a Roman, Nisina ben Dima, and he was a member of the nobility, of the Roman upper class. And he always gave enormous honor to his mother and father. He brings a case there that one time he was sitting Ben Gedele Remi. He was sitting amongst the Caesars of Rome at a very posh banquet. And his mother, that she was not mentally 100%, she came up and she insulted him publicly right in front. And she spat at him. And he wouldn't say anything. Wouldn't say anything. Held his total respect for her. It brings another case where he had, his father had come into possession of some precious jewels, the Avnei Shoham, or the Avnei Cheshen, which were needed for the garments of the Kohen Gadol, or the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. And they were rare, precious jewels. And the sages came to him, his house, and wanted to offer a high price of money for these jewels. And this Roman Asina was home, and they came and they asked him, and they offered the money. And he said, "I'm sorry, but I can't help you now, because my father is sleeping, and the key to the safe where he keeps the jewels is under the cushion, and I'm not going to wake him up." So he said, "I can't." Then they offered an enormous amount of money, and he said, "Nope, I cannot wake him up. So we'll just have to forget about the deal, or you'll have to come another time to do business." This was the great Kibud Av Ve'Em. The Gemara says that we can learn from this Roman. Now, it's interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him. He lost the deal. Evidently, Beni Ubeni, during this time, maybe the jewels were found. They were able to purchase some other place, so they went and they bought it some other place. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him. It said that the next year was Nailed Nold Be'edrei a Por Aduma. Next year was born to his herd a young calf that was totally red. And a red calf was very, very rare, because if it has two black hairs, then it's nifsal, it becomes invalid. So it's a rarity. And was born to him this red calf. And when the sages heard about it, so they again went and they offered a large sum of money, because we need this. This is very important for our Beis HaMikdash. They offered a large sum of money, and he said, "Look, I don't want a large sum of money. I just want the amount of money that I lost on the deal last time." See? Now, the Maral in Kiddushin writes that it wasn't coincidental that he was repaid with a Por Aduma. Like we see here, he fulfilled the Mishpatim, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid him with Chukim. He fulfilled the Mitzvah, which is the most logical, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore complemented it and repaid him with the Mitzvah, which is the most difficult to understand. That was the Por Aduma. Now comes the question, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose these mitzvahs? Right, we explained what were the mitzvahs, and we explained how we learned this from the words of Chayku Mishpat, but why did he choose these mitzvahs to give them? We understand why he had to give them some mitzvahs, Kideshi Sasku, in order that they'll have mitzvahs to learn and not go 3 days, more than 3 days without Torah. But why these mitzvahs? So the answer to this is the Gurai says. It says that each one represents a different facet of Torah. He says, in Torah, when one learns Torah, firstly, one facet of Torah is to learn great volume. To learn up a great volume. This is important. Another facet of Torah is to learn with great depth. And another facet of Torah is to learn with an understanding, lehavdil dover midover, to define and to distinguish one thing from the other. These are the three facets which come to Torah. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to train Klal Yisrael. They were coming to Har Sinai, they were coming to receive the Torah. He wanted to train them in studying of Torah. So he wanted to give them a parsha, a portion of the Torah that represented each part. He gave them Shabbos because there's almost no mitzvah in the Torah that we find that has such a ribui dinim, such a volume of laws. Shabbos is one mitzvah. Leisasa kom alocho. And Shabbos is very few psukim, very few psukim, very, very little text in the Torah. Yet, from there comes out thousands and thousands of halachos. So this is the ribui dinim. There's almost no mitzvah that has such great volume attached to it. So therefore he gave them Shabbos to learn. gave them Por Aduma, the red heifer. There's almost no mitzvah that has such depth to it. This is like we mentioned, even Shlomo HaMelech had difficulty fathoming it. So he gave them Por Aduma. Then he gave them dinim, because there is no mitzvah that one has to be so sharp, and one has to be so sharp to define and to distinguish. Like this, the Gemara always brings lachte chesadim, that the Dayanim will refer to lachte chesadim, lachte or pese chesadim, which means to cut. That the din is like a sword. You have to cut with a fine knife, because in every situation the din changes. You have two people coming before you with a certain dispute. The din could be this way. A dispute that seems almost the same. It says we're not allowed to say it's the same and just duplicate the verdict. We have to hear the whole dispute over again and weigh all of the claims and the counterclaims. When we go into it, you'll see it's a little different. Every time a situation changes just a little, the din changes. Therefore, there is no facet which requires distinction, hevdel, to divide and to distinguish lehetzi dover mitech dover, then dinim. This is why the Gemara says, areitze yakim, yasek bedinim omas. If you want to train yourself to become clever and wise, so you should learn dinim omas, learn these dinim. So this is why he gave them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them these mitzvahs, because this would give them a different area of the Torah, and then they'll have what to study as they're going to Har Sinai. Now we'll go a little further. Vayikhtav Moshe is called Divrei Hashem. Hashem wrote this, Moshe wrote this down. Vayashkein Babaker, he got up the next morning. This was now the fifth Erev Shavuos. This was the day before Shavuos, Erev Shavuos. And he built an altar, which Temesrei Matzeva. And he built 12 rocks, which were going to be for the 12 tribes. Vayishlach has Nari B'nei Yisrael, and he sent out the lads of the B'nei Yisrael. Who were these? These were the Becheres, the firstborn. At that time, the firstborn were in the place of the Kahanim. Vayalu Eilis, and they brought sacrifices. And the Torah tells us now that of the various sacrifices that were brought at this time, then it states that Moshe took the blood of the sacrifices. Half of it he put on the altar, and half of it he sprayed on the people. Vayikach Sefer Bris, and he took the Sefer Bris, and he read them all of this. And they said, Kol asher dibar Hashem naseh v'nishma, that whatever Hashem has said, so we naseh v'nishma means we accept, we will accept to do v'nishma, and we will study it. This is what naseh v'nishma means. Naseh means we will accept to do, and v'nishma we will study. Incidentally, the Gemara brings, we don't have time this evening to go into, we've given particular shurim on that, but the Gemara brings, this was the great schus of Klal Yisrael, because generally, it's like the Gemara brings in Shabbos, where Ahukusi, there was a goy that asked one of the sages of the Gemara, he says, I'm a pazisho, you're a wild nation. He says, you don't accept things without knowing what they are. If someone says, I want you to do something for me, what do you say? You say, well, what do you want me to do? You don't say, I'll do it, and then ask him, what is it? So firstly, you should have asked what it is, and you should have looked into it, and then you answer whether you can do it or not. Here they said, Naseh, whatever you tell us, we accept. V'nishma, and then we will try to study and understand what it is. Kodmo, Naseh l'dishma. This was the great schus of Klal Yisrael. It means that they walked with tmimus, the Gemara says. They walked with trust. He says, we have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we know that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us what to do, he tells us he wants us to do something, we don't have to ask him what. If he's asking us to do something, we know that it's good for us to do, and we're capable of doing it, otherwise he won't ask us. This is what he answered him. Now here we see, firstly we see that three things took place. Number one, there were korbanos, there were sacrifices. Number two, we see that there was tefillah b'mikveh, that they immersed themselves in a mikveh. How do we see this? Because Rashi brings that it states that the Nisha sprinkled the blood of the sacrifices on the people. The Gemara tells us, Ein hazob le tefillah. Whenever the sprinkling of the blood on the people, together with that comes tefillah, immersing oneself in a mikveh. So we see that there was tefillah b'mikveh, immersing oneself in a mikveh. We also see this from before, because Hashem had already said, He told everyone, Kitshu v'chipsu, sanctify yourselves and wash your clothing, which we refer to tefillah b'mikveh. So that's the second thing we see. A third thing we see from here, that there was milah. There was bris milah, the circumcision. How do we see that? The sages darshan this from Vayemer hinei dam habris, ashekoras Hashem imochem al kol advorim e'im. That I am making a covenant on all of this with the dam bris. Gemara brings in the Dorim that this refers to bris milah. So there was a bris milah here also. All right. So three things: sacrifices, tefillah, and bris milah. Now, why was all of this necessary? This was all necessary because at this point, Klal Yisrael were officially becoming Jews. What makes a Jew a Jew? Right? What makes a Jew is the fact that he received Torah and Sinai. This is what makes a Jew. We are from the children of Abraham. But that's not enough. Because the Arabs also are children from Abraham. Right? So in addition, we're children from Abraham and Yitzchok together. That excludes Ishmael, that excludes the Arabs. But that's still not enough. Because Esav also was a child. Esav and Edom and Amalek, they were also children from Abraham and Yitzchok. So the answer is, we're children from Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. We have a direct lineage from Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And only Yisrael were children of him. That's why we're called B'nai Yisrael, because his name was Yisrael. But that still did not make us into Jews, which means that they became obligated in mitzvahs. See, a Jew is someone who was obligated in the 613 mitzvahs. We were not obligated in the 613 mitzvahs by merely being born to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. But the children of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov that were taken to Sinai and given the Torah, there they officially became the Yisrael, the Mamleches Kahanim, the special nation that became obligated in 613 mitzvahs, and this was Sinai. So in other words, this was a type of a gerus. Right? This was a type of a gerus for Klal Yisrael. This was a type of a conversion for Klal Yisrael. Before going to Sinai, so then they were not obligated in those mitzvahs. They were basically obligated in the mitzvahs that all of the world is obligated, the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, and a few extra mitzvahs which were given to them. For example, to Abraham was given bris milah, or the mitzvahs that were given at Morah. So therefore, this was a conversion, we could call it. A yitziyah mikdusha kala l'kdusha chamura, which what a conversion is. In other words, when one went from a more simple sanctity to a higher sanctity, and therefore he became obligated in more kedusha, more sanctity, more mitzvahs. This was which was took place at Har Sinai. And therefore we had to bring korbanos, a sacrifice. We had to have bris milah. And we had to have tefillah. Now the Gemara tells us, a braisa in Masechta Krisus and Daf Tes, the Gemara says that from here we learn, so is it with all gerim. But anyone who later on was not at Har Sinai, and he's not for the children of Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, but he wants to become a Jew, he can become a Jew, but he must go through a similar process. He must go through a similar process that we went through. So he must go through a process of korban, of sacrifice, of tefillah, immersion in a mikveh, and a milah, bris milah. So the Rambam brings this in Ramam quotes this in Isuribiya. Perek Yud Gimel.
B'shleisha dvorim nichnasu Yisrael libris.
Klal Yisrael went into the covenant of Yahadus, into the covenant to become a Jew, with three things: Mila, circumcision; Tefillah, immersion in a mikveh; and Korban, sacrifices. Where was the Mila? So the Rambam explains, the Mila was right as they went out of Egypt. As it states that right before the Korban Pesach, which was the day they were going out of Egypt, was the Mila. Malisa Meisha Rabbeinu, Shekulim Bitla Bris Mila B'Mitzrayim. Because during the 210 years in Egypt, eventually the whole mitzvah of Bris Mila, even though that was given before to Abraham, went to the wayside. Chutz mi Shevet Levi, with the exception of Shevet Levi. They always kept it. So they all had to have Bris Mila. Tefillah, where was the Tefillah? That was in the desert on Har Sinai, right before Har Sinai, as it states, V'kidashtem hayem amocha v'kibtzu sim leison. Kodesh Baruch Hu told the people, sanctify yourself, cleanse your clothing and yourselves. This referred to immersion in a mikveh. Korban, where was the korban? The sacrifice. That's what we just read. That the right before the giving of the Torah, Samesha had sacrifice being brought. This was a condition in the giving of the Torah, a condition in the bris and the covenant, which was going to act for them as somewhat of a conversion. So now he quotes what the Gemara brings in Krishus. V'chein l'deiris. So from here we learn, so is it through the generations. K'shiyetza akum likonis lebris l'stefer tachas kanfi ashkina v'yikabal of ol teira. That when the goy wants to come and he wants to become a Jew, he wants to become part of Klal Yisrael, he wants a portion in Torah. Sorech mila tefila v'atzos korban. So he's going to have mila, circumcision, tefila, and korban, and a sacrifice. If it's a female, so then tefillah and korban. She'll have to have mikveh and korban. Today, we can't have the korban. Bizman hazeh, shein shom korban. Today that we can't have a sacrifice because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So we accept the ger with mila and tefillah alone. But that does not mean that he's potter from the korban. He's still obligated in the korban. Ukshibon Beis HaMikdash yovi korban. And when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, then he'll bring his korban. But in the meantime, he's a full-fledged Jew without. But he's still obligated in it. So that's what we learn from here. Now, actually there was a fourth. There was a fourth factor here also in the Gerush of Klal Yisrael. What was that fourth factor? That was Nasi B'Nishma. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, he sent Nasi. He told them, tell them what I want from them and see if they'll accept. So they said, Nasi B'Nishma, we'll accept. Whatever the mitzvahs you command us with, we will accept. So this was a fourth factor. This also is a condition in a ger. Therefore, in the next perek, in Perek Yudalet, so the Rambam elaborates. He says, when someone comes and says they want to become Jewish, so we have to be Medina, say Ikri Adas. We have to tell them. We can't just accept them. We have to tell them the major mitzvahs of the Torah. Look, we can't teach them the entire Torah, because many times in their whole lifetime they don't teach it. They don't know. People don't learn the entire Torah. And Klal Yisrael also, they were just told. So we have to tell them the major paramount mitzvahs: Yichud Hashem, Isa Verizora, that there is one God. We're not allowed to serve idolatry. Umarichim Bedovah, and we elaborate on this. Then, in addition to that, we tell them some of the easier mitzvahs. We give them samples of some of the easier mitzvahs, and then we give them samples of some of the more difficult mitzvahs. And we give them samples of some of the mitzvahs that cost money, because a lot of people are interested to be a Jew, but they don't want to spend money on it. This is a type of religion that's going to cost a lot of money too. There's stoker, there's leket, shicho, peah. The Torah obligated us in all kind of obligations to the poor and so forth. And we tell them what the punishment of these mitzvahs are.
We tell them that you should know that before you become a Jew, if you eat something that's not kosher, you don't get punished. If you don't keep Shabbos, you don't get punished. But now, if you're going to become a Jew and you're going to eat something that's not kosher, or you're going to desecrate Shabbos, you're going to get punishments. We have to tell them all of that. And just like we tell them the punishments of some of the mitzvahs, we must tell them also the reward of some of the mitzvahs. To tell them that it's not only bad, it's good too. And we tell them about Olam Haba, that you become a Jew and you keep mitzvahs, so then you'll have world to come and so forth. And then we must tell them of the difficulties of the Jews in this world and so forth. Umarichim bedever, im kibel, if they accept, if they say, I hear everything, and I hear all of the difficulties, and I hear all the tzoros that Klal Yisrael has, but nevertheless, I accept, naaseh, then ein mashi naaseh, elamalei naaseh miyad. Then immediately we take them, and we circumcise them. Then it states, then, after they're circumcised and they're cured, so then they have to go to the mikveh. Shlesha emdin al gabon. When they're going into the mikveh, there has to be three Jews there, because we need a bezdin. So there has to be three Jews. U'medin, I say, mikveh mitzvahs kaleis, u'mikveh mitzvahs chamuras pam shniyah. And a second time. It's interesting also, now Pasha was twice too. First they said nasa, then they said nasa v'nish. But second time, we tell them a sample of the mitzvahs, of some of the more easier mitzvahs and some of the more... Just before they're going to be tabled, again we tell them. And you know, if they say, I don't want, well, then something else. If they say they want, though, then they go ahead with the tefillah and they become Jews. So we see four factors that were here at the beginning of the Torah. There were sacrifices, korbanos, there was tefillah, mikveh, there was Mila, and there was Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. They accepted to do all of the mitzvahs. This is how Klal Yisrael went into the breach, into the covenant of Hashem, which was niskadish them, sanctified them to become a chuyav of mitzvahs, obligated to mitzvahs. And so is it then with a ger, someone who also wants to become a Yisrael and become obligated in the mitzvahs of the Torah. He also has to go through the same. We'll go to another point. Then it states, "Vayal Meisha v'Aaron, Nodav v'Aviu v'Shiva m'Ziknei Yisrael." Meisha and Aaron and Nodav v'Aviu and the 70 Zekanim, they went up into the mountain. Each went where they were allowed to. Vayiru Eisa l'Kei Yisrael, and they saw the God of Israel. Now this is interesting that it states they saw. Because lo yirani odem b'koy, no man can see Hashem and live. Right. So what does it mean they saw? So evidently they saw quite a bit. We'll go a little more into that. But vayiru es elokei Yisrael, they saw Hashem. The Targum says vechaze yos yikar elokod Yisrael. They couldn't see Hashem, but they saw the great majesty of Hashem, the great honor of Hashem. They saw. What did they see? Sachas Raglov, see, it states that at the Har Sinai, the heavens opened up. And what did they see? Sachas Raglov Kemase Livnas Hasapir. They saw beneath the feet of Hashem was a sapir, a color of sapir. A sapir is a sapphire. So they saw an enormous blueness and bricks. Bricks of blueness. And they saw the heavens open, and they saw a clarity, a clearness, and a brightness through the heavens. Then it states, "Vayechazu es Elokim vayechlu v'yishtu," and they gazed at Hashem, and they ate and drank. What does it mean? They ate and drank. Different interpretations, but the Targum says they ate and drank. Vechazu yos yikor Hashem vehavichodon bikorbenehen diskablu berava ki ilu ochlin v'shosim. The experience was an experience so vivid
as if they were eating and drinking. In other words, with everything that they saw and everything that took place, it was as if they were eating and drinking. Now, firstly, it states that they saw a blueness, and they saw bricks. So Rashi tells us as follows. Rashi says, what were the bricks? He also lafon of b'shas hashibud lis kotzorosin shel Yisrael shoyim mishubodim b'maisel levonim. But the bricks really shouldn't have been there. Kodesh Baruch Hu's throne usually doesn't have bricks there, but he had placed bricks there because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to share in the tzoros of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, when they were in Egypt, their main enslavement was with mortar and brick, and all of the time that they were in Egypt, so he wanted to share in their tzoros. So therefore, he had bricks in front of his throne. There's another pasuk that's brought in Yecheskel, Perek Aleph. And there it states that Tachas Raglov Kemaisa Avonim. There were stones, not bricks, but stones. And there again, that referred to the Golus Bovel, the exile in Bovel of the suffering there. So from here we learn the principle of Ima Enochim Anechi Betzora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu states that when Klal Yisrael is in Golus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes in Golus. Kishe Golu Yisrael, Golu Shechint Imai. When Klal Yisrael is suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers with them. Anechi Imai Anechi Betzora. He says, I am with you in your tzoras. We mentioned just recently, this is why when Mesha, the first time Mesha ever was spoken to by Hashem, was in the desert. It was at this place, but it was many a year before. And when Hashem spoke to him from the burning bush. Now, a desert bush is a very scraggly bush. I mean, this is like a cactus plant or something like that. And it's not a very beautiful bush. It's a snare. And they asked the question, what's Hashem doing in that? If he wants to be in a tree, he should be in a Arzei Levon, and they should be in the great cedar trees. Why there? Because since Klal Yisrael was in Tzoros, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu also put himself into a lowly bush. So that this is the reason of the Levonim, of the bricks. Then, when it states Ki Etzem HaShemayim LeTohar, there, that means that it was with a beautiful clearness and brightness. So that Rashi says, "Mishenigalu haya or v'ched v'lefonav." Once the geula, the redemption came, though, then there was light and rejoicing and simcha in front of Hashem's throne. So that's what represents the ki etzem hashemayim latoyar. Then the Gemara and Seita says as follows. Gemara tells us, it states, what does Hashem's throne look like? He has a throne in the heavens. What does it look like? So the Gemara tells us, we know the color of it. The color of his throne is the color of a sapphire, a beautiful blue. How do we know this? So it brings these psukim. It states, "Vayiru es elekei Yisrael v'sachas raglo kemaisa livna satzak." It says that below Hashem's feet, which were his throne, there was this blueness of the sapphire. And there's another posuk, which we refer to in Yecheskel Aleph, that Yecheskel, when he had a prophecy, he saw Hashem's throne. What did he see? Kemare Evan Sapir de Muskise. He saw his throne, which looked just like the color of a sapphire. So from here we know what Hashem's throne is. Blue. The blue of a sapphire. Then the Gemara brings and says as follows. Hoya Remeya Eimer. Remeya said, Man ishtana teles mikol minei tzavunim. We were commanded on our tzitzis, the tzitzis that we place on our four-cornered begodim or on talesim. We were commanded that they shouldn't all be white. Today we wear them white because we don't have the particular color that we need for the other. But really they shouldn't be white. Some of them were supposed to be a color which is known as teles. The teles was taken from the Dam Halozen. This was a creature that lived deep in the sea and would only come up once every 70 years. And it would take its blood and dye the tzitzis to that color. Now, Remeir says, now what color was that? So we'll see in a minute. Remeir says, why did the Torah choose that color? Why was it necessary for some of our tzitzis to be dyed the color of the teles? So Remeir says like this. The teles is the color of the sea. And the sea is the color of the sky. And the color of the sky is similar to Hashem's throne. Now Rashi explains, well, what do we have to go through such a business for? We have to say that the teles is like the sea, and the sea is like the sky, and the sky is like Hashem's throne. Why don't we just say that the teles is like the sky, or the teles is like Hashem's throne? So he says the answer is because the color of the sea is not exactly like the color of the sky. See, the color of the sea has a little more green in it. It's a greenish blue. While the color of the sky is more of a bluish blue. So the teles was not like the sky. The teles was more similar to the sea. See, so from here we see that the color of the teles was the color of a sea. It was with a blue with a little green in it. Therefore, when a person looked at the tzitzis, so this would remind him of the sea. When he would think of the sea, it reminds us of the sky, because the sea already is more similar to the sky. When we look at the sky, we're supposed to realize that this should remind us of Hashem, because the color of the sky is very similar to the color of His throne. As it states, that they saw the color of blue and it was the bright clarity as if the heavens opened up. So from here we see that the color of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne is a beautiful clear blue, and this is what they saw. Incidentally, the Maral says, what does this blue show? He says this shows Malchus. We know that kings of old all had their colors. And blue was one of the majestic colors. But this comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose blue for his Malchus. This represented, he goes into it in more detail that we do not have time now, but this represents, say, the Malchus Hashem, because the Kisei, the throne, represents majesty. That represents the sovereign. And blue was that color. Also we learn from here, the Gemara says, Rashi explains. Incidentally, Teisvis brings from a Yushalmi. He brings from a Yushalmi. A Perikam of Brochas, it says a little differently. It says that the Tchelis is Deme Lasovim. Yamin Asovim. It brings in the green of the grass also as one of the steps. So we see that it was a greenish blue. But what we learn from here, in regards to tzitzis, therefore it states that whoever fulfills the mitzvah of tzitzis is ki'ilu mekabel pnei Hashchina. It's as if he's coming to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because from the tzitzis, so this will immediately remind him, it was a beautiful blue, today we don't have it, but this immediately reminds a person of the sea immediately reminds a person of the sky, and the sky is to remind a person that that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne is of that color. Now, they came, and it states, Vayiru, they saw. The heavens opened up. And they saw this bright color. And they realized that this was the color of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. And they saw so much It was an experience of eating and drinking. And he was as if they were eating and drinking. The Rabban explains that everyone saw differently. See, everyone saw differently. The nation saw little. The elders saw more. Nodav Aviu saw more. Aaron saw more. Moshe, he saw everything. What did they see? What they saw is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe said, in the Pasuk, which is brought in verse Chanan, Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Hei. Ato ha-reisa ladas ki Hashem u-lekim ein eid melvado. You were shown to know that Hashem is the only God and there's no one else. Now what does it mean you were shown to know? This refers to this. This that we know that Hashem is the only God, this is, they saw this on Har Sinai. They were shown this because they saw the heavens open up and they saw the throne of Hashem. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah in Perek Ches. He says if a person tells you something and he wants to prove it by showing you a wonder, he says that's not total proof. He says, a wonder, Eis or a Mephis, some type of wonder or some type of miracle. He says, this is not conclusive evidence. This is important for us to know today when we have so many cult makers and magicians. He says, someone shows you signs, he shows you magic, or he shows you miracles. He says, this is not conclusive evidence. Conclusive evidence is seen when you see. Until you've seen, then there's nothing conclusive. He says, but Moshe did all kind of signs and miracles in Egypt. So he says that wasn't to make Klal Yisrael believe. The purposes of all those miracles were not for the people to believe. And he says as follows in Perikes, Amayim in Alpiasis, those people that believe because of various miracles and signs, Yesh Belibe Deifi, their heart is still suspecting. Efshi Yasa Eis Beleitu Bekishuf. It's always possible to do the signs and the miracles through some type of sorcery. All of the miracles that Moshe did in Egypt and in the desert were not for that purpose. There was for other purposes that were necessary. For example, he had to destroy Egypt. So he had to split the sea. He had to give us to eat in the desert. So he had to bring down the mon. He had to give us the drink. So he had to split the rock. He had to fight. He had to squash the rebellion of Kerach. So he had to have the earth open up. But they weren't. They were not signs to make us believe. No. He says, this that we believe, the Torah was given, is not through signs. But she'einenu ra'u, but we saw. Ve'ozneinu shomu, and we heard. V'lei acher, it wasn't through another person. And what we saw on Har Sinai, that generation saw, after that, there was no doubt whatsoever. It wasn't conclusive because of miracles, and it wasn't conclusive because of signs. It was conclusive because of what they saw. And that's what it states by Yiru. They saw. And the heavens opened up, they saw it. And they saw the color of Hashem's throne. By Yechazu, and they gazed. By Yechlu, by Ishtu. And it was as if they were eating and drinking, that experience was so vivid. And that's what is meant by Ato Harei Salodas. You were not given to know, you were shown to know. He ain't Og Nevade, because that Hashem is alone and there's no other one like him. So this is what this is what Har Sinai was. Then he brings, this is why the Zakenim, when Moshe came to the Zakenim, to the elders, and he came, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, go to the people, gather together the elders, and tell them I have come to redeem them. So Moshe said, Heim lo yaminu bi, they won't believe me. So Hashem said, give them some signs and they'll believe. So he threw down his staff, he showed them signs, they believed. But when it came to go to Parai, it says only Moshe and Aaron was there. What happened? All of the elders had slowly disappeared, one by one. Why? Because they were afraid. What were they afraid of? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm with you. So he says, you see, Haminu v'lei Haminu. They believed and they didn't believe. They were still suspecting. Because that was through Elsus. See, that was through these signs. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, he says, Anechi bo elecho be'av e'onon ba'avur yishma om b'divrei imcho v'gam b'cho yamin leilo. I am coming to you in a cloud on Sinai, in the eyes of the nation, in order that they shall believe in you forever. So he says, from here we see that till then, they didn't have total belief in Moshe. They had a belief in Moshe, but it was possible to be destroyed. But from Har Sinai, they will believe in you forever. That Moshe was the true Novi, he was the prophet, and no one can ever come and stand up against him. From here we have another explanation now in why the elders, when they all disappeared and they didn't go to Parai, why they were not given the excuse to go higher in the mountain. Kodesh Baruch Hu reveals himself to those who believe in him. According to the belief that a person has in Hashem, that's how much he reveals himself. It's actually, there's a pasuk, Hashem tzilcha al yotcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzil, a tzil. A tzil is a shadow. He's a shadow over your hand. The simple meaning is, he will guard you like a shadow. The Lashon HaSefer Nefesh HaChaim says, no, he's a shadow. He will do what you do. If you have no trust in him, then he's not going to reveal himself at all to you. You have a little trust in him, he'll reveal himself a little. Full trust, then he will reveal totally himself to you. The elders, that they believed but they didn't believe, so when it came time to actually see Hashem, where he was revealing himself, they had, by them it said, Vishtachaviso Meirochik. They must bow from a distance. But Moshe and Aaron, who had total belief in Hashem, so they were allowed to go further and see even more. So Har Sinai was the time when this was engraved on the souls of Klal Yisrael forever. That forever we would believe in the Torah in Teres Moshe, the Torah which was given to Moshe, and there would never be a doubt. See, this was engraved in the souls of that generation, and it was carried through the further generations. So this is why it was important that they actually saw. They saw as much as a person could see, but they saw. And they saw the heavens open up, they saw the throne, they saw the bricks, they saw the color of a sapphire, of a sapphire, and they saw the light and the clarity of the heavens. These are some of the principles that we can learn from these few psukim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.